You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, a podcast for spiritual souls on their journey of enlightening the world. I'm your host, Stephanie Powers. Welcome. Hello, Lightworkers. Welcome to another episode of Lightworkers Lounge. So we know, being a lightworker, we have a special connection to the earth. Perhaps we express this through feeling strongly about environmental conservation, vegan activism, whatever it may be. We just love our mom Earth. One thing she gives us to help us along our journey, though, are rocks and crystals. And these powerful little gifts from the ground have so much meaning and force behind them that I decided it was time to bring on a professional to help explain their use. Today's special guest is Ashley Levy. Am I saying it right, Ashley?
You're really close. It's Ashley Levy.
Ashley Levy. Ashley is one of the world's top crystal experts and educators. Over the past 10 years, she has helped tens of thousands of people discover the power of crystals for healing and transformation. She is a best-selling author, internationally acclaimed speaker, and award-winning instructor on crystal healing. She's the founder and educational director of Love and Light School of Crystal Therapy, where her mission is to share crystal healing with people all over the world. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi, Stephanie. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, I'm so glad you can come on. You know, crystals are something I have never spoken about on the podcast. I use them, I have them, but I just don't feel I have the grounds to speak on the power of them. So I'm really glad your team reached out.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here and share a little bit about these amazing gifts from the earth.
Yeah, so what you're doing is incredible. And in fact, you just recently released a book called Cosmic Crystals, Rituals and Meditations for Connecting with Lunar Energy. Is that right?
I did. Yeah, it just came out on August 20th of this year, 2019.
Ooh, congratulations. And
thanks. This is like, I think my fifth or sixth book, but it was one that I think has like been the most deeply personal for me. When I started writing this, it was really like pulled together from my own journaling about crystals, my own connection with crystals. And I kind of eventually realized that this was stuff that so many people could really dig into and get a lot of benefit from.
Mm-hmm, totally. How old were you, Ashley, when you first started to become interested in crystals?
Oh my goodness. So I was definitely really young. I would say maybe 6, 7 years old. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents when I was little, and my grandpa had this huge crystal collection, big, big mineral collection. And he was really scientific minded. So he liked to catalog them all and, you know, look at how they were used in industry and all these things that are very, very different than the way that I look at crystals. But he really taught me to have an appreciation for the natural world and for the beauty that surrounds us. And he taught me so much about crystals. And when I was in about third grade, for Christmas one year, he gave me this book, and it was the Smithsonian Institute Guide to Crystals and Minerals. And in that book, there would be all these little snippets of information about how crystals were used throughout history in legend and lore. And that was kind of my first introduction to the idea that crystals had these like magical properties. And it was something that really kind of shifted my perspective even back then.
Wow, that's so neat. As you were sharing your story, I thought, when did I get interested in crystals? And it was very similar to your story. My mom had purple amethysts around the house. And as a child, you just look at those like, wow, what spaceship did this drop from?
Right? It's so crazy that the earth can create something that looks like that.
Yeah. And you know, that is something I was really excited to ask you about. I don't know if this is personal preference or what, but when I go to a metaphysical shop or wherever I find crystals, when I see the ones that are painted, like, I feel like crystals in their natural element are just already so magical. But do you know what I'm talking about? People dip them in dyes, they paint them. Do you think that does into the power of the crystal?
You know, I personally don't work with any crystals that have been dyed, that have been artificially irradiated, anything like that. I think it does kind of take something away. Which is weird because they're actually adding something, right? They're adding these dyes or they're adding these other processes. And for me, it does kind of take away from the crystal's natural beauty and energy. I feel like it's just done commercially, and it's kind of unfortunate because a lot of people, when they're just getting started with crystals, they don't know all the, you know, different treatments and enhancements that are out there, and they end up buying something that they think is so beautiful and they've fallen in love with, only later to find out that it is artificial. It's not real.
Yeah, I really feel like it takes away the power of that crystal and the rock.
Yeah. And I mean, even worse than that, there are some that are just straight up man-made, which is like a whole nother kind of story. And some shops are really great about this. And at least if they have those things, they label them, but a lot just don't know.
Yeah. And what are some ways that people can make sure that the crystal they're purchasing is not man-made? Like, are there some surefire signs or things to look for?
It really depends on what type of crystal you're shopping for. So my suggestion is always to do your research about that stone before you go buy one. So look up, say you were going to buy a ruby, look up man-made ruby, synthetic ruby, natural ruby, and then look at a lot of different images and pictures and read a few articles to kind of educate yourself on some of the telltale signs, because it'll be really different for each type of stone. For example, something like amber. Amber is one that is often faked. And the most common fake for amber is just plastic. There are a few little tests that you can do to determine if you have real amber or if you in fact have plastic. There are also, though, heat treatments on some of the crystals. I don't personally mind that as much because that's a similar process to what happens in the earth. A lot of times when minerals are heated, their color becomes more intense. So that's why this is done. So you could have something like a really, really pale aquamarine, but if it's heated, it turns really bright blue, which can be nice. But what I don't like working with are artificially irradiated crystals, which happens a lot in things like smoky quartz. And that's because that's a very different process than what happens in the earth. And I feel like energetically, it just doesn't kind of translate the same way. So do your research, know the stone that you're looking to buy, and just kind of figure it out. Like, there are some that are really commonly faked. Most of the time, these are more expensive or highly sought after crystals, like amber, like turquoise, like moldavite. These are ones that are commonly faked. But, you know, for your average kind of amethyst, rose quartz, that kind of thing, they are not typically faked, but sometimes you will see really, really low quality versions of those crystals that they dye to kind of enhance the color. But you mostly just see this in like jewelry coming from overseas.
Oh, that is very true. And that is such a good point you brought up, is know what stone you want to get before you go to the shop, because I do the opposite. I just go to the shop and I'm like, ooh, which one's pretty?
I do that too. And you know what? Here's the thing. I think that there's something to be said for that. It can be really beneficial to just kind of let your intuition guide you. Yes. But maybe before you make that final purchase at the counter, ask the people that are working there a few questions about the stone. The thing is, not everyone knows all the time. They might think that what they're selling is natural and it might not be. So, you know, we all have the luxury of being able to pull out our phone and do just a couple minutes research maybe before making that final purchase.
Good call. Oh, I'm so glad you came on the show. That's such good information already. So as I said, I just usually go to these shops and I just look around and I wait for a rock to call to me, to speak to me. And usually they do, except one time I went into a shop and the woman who owned it looked at me, because this was during a really difficult chapter of my life. And she said, oh, honey, come here. And she handed me white quartz, I believe it was. It was like a really perfect stick of a white crystal quartz. And then the other one was like a shiny metallic gray, and it was really dense and heavy. She told me I needed those for protection and grounding.
Yeah. So that first one, the way you're describing it, may have been selenite.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yes.
Okay. Well, as soon as you said like a white stick, I'm like, ooh, I know exactly what that is. So selenite is so good for cleansing our aura, removing emotional debris, energetic debris that's kind of glommed on and clogging things up for us energetically. All that stuff that we just need to release, let go of, sweep away. That's what selenite is so, so good for. And it's also really protective because it has such a bright light to it. It's so high vibrational energetically that it just pushes and repels negativity away from us. Then the other stone that you were talking about was probably hematite. That one's kind of a silvery black gray. It's really heavy because it's made of mostly iron. And that's one that is so grounding. It's super dense. It's really heavy. It gets you into your physical body. And it's one that just really keeps you centered and focused on the present moment.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Of course you knew by my really lack of description. But I used to keep that one, the heavy one, in my cup holder because when my anxiety was bad, it got really bad during driving. And I would just grab it whenever I would feel anxious while I was driving and just play with it, rub it between my fingers. And it really did bring me back into my physical body and out of my head.
I love that so much. That is so smart. I have an aquamarine bracelet that I wear when I'm feeling anxious. And it's just that kind of little like comfort for me, you know, you kind of feel it pressed against your skin. It's there when you look down at it as a reminder to just take a breath, get centered, exactly what you said, get out of your head for a minute. And it's so, so helpful.
Yeah, I love it. And I actually have, what are the white sticks called? I just call them quartz, white quartz.
So they're selenite. So it's selenite. A little different. Yeah, a little different variety than quartz. Quartz is its own mineral. Selenite is so amazing. It's actually named after the moon goddess, Selene. So it has this really soft feminine energy to it. It's connected with the energy of the moon. It's supposed to have that bright, brilliant light of the moon. And it helps us kind of tap into divine feminine energy and into our intuition.
I've been mentioning a lot lately how your physical health must be in tip-top shape in order to really connect and get the most out of your spiritual connection. That is why I'm honored to partner Lightworkers Lounge with Care Of Vitamins. Care Of is a subscription service that delivers vitamins and supplements customized for your specific health needs right to your door every month. I used to work in an all-natural supplement shop when I was a health coach. I know how overwhelming it can be to figure out which supplement is best for you. Care Of makes it easy to find out what your body specifically needs to be your healthiest. Care Of has a fun online quiz that asks you about your personal diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices. It only takes about 5 minutes to complete, and you immediately receive your personal, scientifically backed recommendation for vitamins, supplements, and more. Care Of makes sure that what you're putting into your body comes from the best sources, backed by honest guidance and transparency, all available to you at their website. Your individually wrapped vitamin packets are now made from a compostable, plant-based film, so your vitamins are kept fresh while now being better for the environment. I love that. In my personal packets of Care Of, I have a biotin supplement for my hair, skin, and nails, a probiotic for my gut health, and a women's multivitamin. I look forward to grabbing my Care Of packet with breakfast every morning. The inspirational quotes and the fun fact of the day are great ways to put my phone down and spark a conversation at the table. Or just talk to my pug, Jeff. So, check them out. Go snoop around their website. See if they resonate with you. Go to takecareof.com. And if they do, use code LIGHTWORKERS for 25% off your first order. Again, for 25% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter LIGHTWORKERS.
So Ashley, I keep selenite sticks in my backpack because I hike and travel a lot. I keep pieces of it in my car when I'm driving, and I road trip across the country all the time, so I need that protection. But I keep it all around, you know, and I'll add it to my Airbnbs when I get there. Is that a good idea?
That is one of my favorite things to do while traveling, is to bring just a couple of crystals from home, some things to kind of set the stage, make the energy in the space feel really nice, things that just feel comforting to you and supportive and nurturing, because it can be so strange when we're traveling, right? We're staying in an unfamiliar space. We're sleeping in a bed that's not our own. So bringing a few of your favorite crystals can be really helpful, but there are also some for travel that are so amazing. So whenever I stay somewhere, I like to bring a piece of white howlite. This is one that really promotes sound sleep, sweet dreams, and it's just a great all-around crystal for when you're kind of staying in a strange environment and have to sleep somewhere other than your own bed. But you can also do some things, like you said, bring that selenite to cleanse and clear the energy of that space. It might not always be a polite thing to do, too, if you're staying in an Airbnb, to burn some sacred herbs to clear the space and things like that. But we can always bring in a few crystals for cleansing and purification, just to help, you know, bring the energy in that space to be a nice kind of high vibe.
Oh, that is such a good idea, because I know so many people that want to burn sage in their Airbnbs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So leading into that question, what are the best stones or crystals for anxiety and grounding, depression?
Yeah. So this is something I really used to struggle with, anxiety a lot. And I still do every once in a while, but it used to be just downright debilitating and exhausting for me. So two of my favorite crystals for this are aquamarine, which I mentioned earlier, and lepidolite. And I love the combination of these two. Lepidolite has lithium in it, which is actually an ingredient in a lot of prescription medications and drugs for treating anxiety.
That's so cool. I never knew that.
Oh, it is really, really cool. So you bring this crystal that has this energy already in it into your environment or wear it on your person. And it's so soothing. So it helps really balance out the hemispheres of your brain, get you centered in the present moment, and just kind of take a breath and realize that whatever you're feeling anxious about is probably something that's coming from outside of you, something that you can choose how you feel about it. And sometimes we just need that reminder. And then the aquamarine is really great because it helps remind you to just go with the flow. It's actually named aquamarine, which is like blue water or sea water. So it's like that go with the flow, those kind of ocean vibes, really calming and relaxing. And it just lets this kind of calm energy wash over you, wash over your body. And it's such a great crystal to help calm you that way. But if I'm feeling like I need just a little bit something extra, then what you mentioned with grounding crystals, that becomes kind of the next step, because sometimes we're so deep in it. Say you're having like a full-on panic attack, your little reminder crystals might not be enough to quite get you there. So some immediate grounding crystals like black tourmaline, petrified wood, smoky quartz. These can be used to just get you back in your body, get you out of your head. And I will actually take off, if it's like really, really bad, I'll take off my shoes and socks and put the soles of my feet on top of those crystals, because it's like an instant connection to the earth.
Such a good idea. And I didn't know petrified wood. I have a piece of that I got in California.
Oh, that is the best for grounding. Or if I'm just having like a busy, stressful day at work or whatever it is, I'll just take a few minutes halfway through the day to kind of put that underneath my feet, rest my little tootsies on top of it, and then feel a lot better.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me. I've had a massage before with hot stones, and the woman was very holistic in her approach, and she went hiking up in this mountain in New Hampshire, and she collected stones and used them in her massage therapy. And I remember when she put them on my belly, I felt so relaxed, grounded. Oh, it was so nice. So what do you think of using stones for holistic healing?
Yeah, especially incorporated with something like massage. I love this. It's actually, we teach a class about this at the Love and Light School. It's all about crystals and massage. So you can get specialized massage tools, like massage wands that are carved from crystals. You can use crystal spheres for this. And if you're a massage therapist, this is so helpful because it takes a lot of the stress and strain off of your hands and your wrists, because the crystal tool does a lot of the work. Whereas if you're the client, then you're getting the benefit of not only the massage, but the energy of those crystals as well. And it's so interesting that you brought up hot stone massage, because a lot of crystals have these properties, these scientific properties that are known as piezoelectricity or pyroelectricity. And when crystals have this quality of pyroelectricity, they actually produce more energy when they're heated. So by warming up the stones in this kind of hot stone massage, you can actually activate their energy when you place them on the body.
That's incredible. I knew I felt something powerful.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that, that
a warm stone on your body would do that much power, but it does. Now, I was a holistic health coach before I became the host of Lightworkers Lounge. And I want to ask you, are there stones that, like, for example, I specialize in the thyroid. Are there stones that they say could help the thyroid balance its hormones, or maybe for infertility, there's stones?
Absolutely. So I think, you know, working with the thyroid is one of those things that has become more and more common because people, this is something that we struggle with as humans. And like modern day, this is just something that so many people have issues with. And then I actually have a really in-depth blog post about this because there are kind of four different ways that we can have issues with the thyroid. So there's underactive thyroid and Hashimoto's. And so if you're dealing with something like that, then you want to work with something that's really going to stimulate your immune system, something that's going to bring that back into balance, because Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease. So working with something like amber, bloodstone, orange calcite, lapis, malachite, these are excellent crystals to use. Now, because like Hashimoto's symptoms are really, really varied, it can be something that, you know, once your immune system becomes suppressed, there are other things that kind of become triggered. Like a lot of people who suffer from Hashimoto's also have a lot of fatigue. So working with crystals like carnelian, serpentine, ruby to help with that fatigue can be really, really useful. Yeah. And depression then is kind of a secondary symptom of Hashimoto's because you're fatigued and run down all the time. So working with something like pyrite or rutilated quartz can be really useful to help you work through that depression. It's such a big thing that really, you know, affects so many people. And of course, weight gain is also attributed to people with Hashimoto's. So working with some of the moonstones to help regulate weight, working with things like blue apatite, amethyst, those can all be really helpful. Then for the thyroid, there's also Graves' disease and overactive thyroid. So here we kind of see the opposite. The thyroid is kind of in overdrive all the time. And working with crystals like Botswana agate, yellow fluorite, lithium quartz, these really help bring that back into balance. And some of the hard things about this are like fatigue is also associated with Graves' disease. So when your thyroid is not in balance, it really affects you on a super deep level. So some of those crystals, again, for the fatigue, like carnelian, can be really helpful. But then there's also like goiter and enlarged thyroid. You can work with things like barite, leopard skin jasper to help support this. And then there are thyroid nodules and growths, which affect a lot of people. And they cause like rapid heart rate, nervousness, anxiety, loss of body weight, so many different things. So fluorite is great for this one. Clear fluorite in particular is a really, really good one. And lapis here as well.
You know, I actually had Hashimoto's myself, and I published a book called Thyroid First Aid Kit. I only wish I knew about crystals because I totally would have added it to the book.
Oh, it's such a helpful thing. My mom has a thyroid disorder, and when she got diagnosed, probably when I was maybe 12 or 13 years old, and when I started to really, really get into working with crystals professionally, I sent her a little care package, a little pouch with a few crystals to help keep that thyroid regulated and balanced.
That is so sweet. I love that idea. Wow. So crystals and stones really can help with physical ailments. I love that. You know, as a health coach, I worked with a lot of girls who struggled with infertility. So what crystals can you recommend for that?
Yeah, so this is another thing that I get asked about really a lot because there are so many people that obviously struggle with this. And so it really depends on what you're trying to accomplish. So if you're just trying to enhance fertility because you're having problems conceiving, then something like rhodochrosite, rhodonite, pink opal can be really helpful. But if you're maybe in a situation where you've had problems carrying a pregnancy to term, then you might want to work with something like moonstone, rutilated quartz, chrysocolla. These can all be really useful.
That is incredible. Okay. Now I want to ask you about something I saw online. I don't know if it's real or if it was a joke, but what is a yoni wand? It's pretty much like a crystal dildo.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
What is it? Is it real? What does it do for you?
It is a real thing. They've really become more popular just in the past couple years. So first it was kind of the yoni eggs, and then the yoni wands kind of came after that. And here's the thing. I think anyone who wants to work with that sort of tool, obviously when it comes to sexual health and the health of our vaginas, we need to be really careful what we put in there. So there are a lot of, I think, manufacturers of these tools out there that are kind of riding the coattails of this craze right now. And they're creating tools that are not designed to be inserted into the body. And sometimes these tools are created out of stones that should not be used in that way. I've seen some out there that are made out of stones that are really porous. And if that's the case, you know, obviously they're going to be absorbing things, holding on to bacteria, that's going to cause a problem. I've seen a few out there that are created from stones that have heavy metals in them that are toxic. So here's the thing, like if you are interested in using yoni eggs or using yoni wands, do your due diligence, do your research. They're not all created equally. Just because someone's selling it on a website doesn't make it okay to put in your body just because they say. So just like anything else, really, really educate yourself about this because it can be really detrimental to the health of your body as a woman to put something in there that's not for you.
Oh, yeah. This is why some of the advertisers I work with here on the podcast are organic tampons and organic pads, because that is a direct portal into our body.
Exactly. Exactly. This is so, so important.
Now, on the positive side, what can a yoni wand do for you? Can it like open up your root chakra? Can it help with infertility and an energetic block down there?
The most common reason I think that a lot of women use these tools is to really get in touch with their sense of sexual power, to really get back in touch with their sensuality, their own divine feminine energy. I think that there are some claims out there that these tools can help with fertility issues. I don't know that would make much of a difference using a yoni wand versus just working with your crystals every day in meditation or in a crystal layout or carrying them with you. I don't think that that's necessary to do, but I do think that in terms of reconnecting with your own sexual energy, just with any kind of exploration of your own body, I think that would definitely be a big outcome. Plus then you have that kind of supportive energy of the crystal there.
That is beautiful. I absolutely love that. Now, one thing I learned that I really resonated with is how to recharge your crystals. So what I do is every full moon, I put my crystals in a bowl of water. When I lived in Telluride for the summer, I would get fresh water from a mountain stream or a river. And now that I'm in Florida, I'm going to go to the ocean and get some fresh ocean water. And I'll just put my crystals in this bowl of water and leave it under the full moonlight outside. So is that true? Did I read something wrong?
This is a really, really common practice when it comes to crystal healing. So the thought here is just like we need to cleanse our crystals and remove any negativity or energy that has accumulated that's not really for our highest good, just like we cleanse away that energy, once we cleanse away that energy, we can also charge our crystals up with energy. But I kind of look at this a little bit differently than most people do. Most people look at a crystal like a cell phone. It has a battery. You use it all day. It's going to get depleted. You need to charge it back up. For me, I look at charging a little bit differently. So I don't think that crystals can really get depleted of energy. I don't think that when we are talking about crystal energy that we're actually using up the energy of the crystal. I think that crystals are kind of conduits for universal energy, and they're just amplifying this and making it more accessible to us. So I think of charging more as giving that crystal additional energetic qualities. So for example, by charging that crystal in the light of the full moon, you're taking the energetic qualities of that full moon, which are about manifestation, abundance, wholeness, completion, and you're storing that kind of frequency in the crystal. So it's not about replenishing the energy of the stone, but it's about giving that crystal something extra. And you can do this with moonlight under the different phases of the moon. You can do this in a bowl of herbs or flowers and charge the crystal with the energy of that sacred plant medicine. So there are so many opportunities to really imbue your crystals with these extra energies.
Oh, I love the idea of flowers, wildflowers, and that's beautiful. I didn't think of that. Or different phases of the moon. Maybe I'll put it under the new moon to help with new beginnings and accepting change.
Exactly. Mm. And if you wanted to really, you know, go kind of full throttle, you could even float a few fresh flowers, a few fresh blossoms in that bowl of water and like bring all of those energies together. You can absolutely combine these as well.
I love that. Okay, now one last thing I wanted to run by you. I mean, I was so excited to talk to you. So me and my friends talk about getting married all the time and like how we don't agree with signing a marriage license anymore. We still want to have the party and stuff, but not get the government involved. And then another thing we talk about are diamond rings. None of us resonate with that anymore. They're overpriced. There's no energy behind it. So my audience knows that I got married young and I had a divorce last year, but I had a little like cheap quartz crystal ring for $5 that I found down in Key West that I actually ended up using as my wedding band because I just felt the energy and the love and I just felt something behind it. Whereas a $10,000 diamond ring, I felt absolutely nothing. It looked pretty on my finger, but I didn't feel anything. So what do you know about diamond rings?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought this up because I'm just going to like total transparency. My husband and I, our wedding bands were $7.
Yes, I love that. But I bet you feel so loved when you wear it.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I don't think that we need some big fancy thing. Here's the thing. Like, there's that saying that diamonds are forever, right? And it's that's a marketing slogan, right? And it's supposed to be a metaphor that your relationship will last forever if you have this diamond. Well, here's the thing. The reason that slogan is somewhat interesting is because diamonds are the hardest mineral substance on earth. So there's this thing called the Mohs hardness scale. This is like a nerdy geology thing, a science thing, but there's really soft minerals like talc, if you think of talcum powder, that's rated a 1 on the Mohs hardness scale because it's really soft. Diamonds are a 10 and they're the only mineral on earth that's a 10. They're the hardest mineral. So that's where we get this idea diamonds are forever. They're durable, they're strong, they're tough, they're long lasting. So that's why they're kind of used as a symbol for relationships. But here's the thing. The reason the diamonds are so popular is just because of marketing. We think that diamonds are like so rare and all that stuff. Diamonds actually aren't that rare. There are tons and tons of crystals that are much rarer than diamonds, but the diamond market is very highly controlled by just a few people at the top of the chain. And so the number of diamonds that are kind of released and allowed to get out into the market make these more of a, I guess, rarity, even though they're not, in terms of their abundance on Earth. What I've seen probably over the past 10 years or so is a big shift, particularly because of people who love crystals, to choosing a crystal for your engagement ring, your wedding band, that's more representative of you or your partner or your relationship together or the family that you have together. A really, really common stone I've seen the past like 2 years that's gaining in popularity for engagement rings is morganite. It's like the pink version of aquamarine. It's a beryl crystal. And this like morganite, this soft pink stone, so pretty, set in rose gold, has become super, super popular. So I think it should really be about choosing something meaningful rather than having to go for the big sparkly rock.
Yes, I was just Googling morganite ring. That is so pretty.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's incredible. And it's so cheap.
Yeah. In comparison, you can get a really high quality gemstone and a big giant one for not that much.
Now, when I had to sell my wedding band, I realized just how much diamonds lose value. I mean, this could be going off topic, but why is that? Why do you pay so much up front and then they lose their value like a car?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's just like when you drive a car off the lot. Because here's the thing, when it comes to the jewelry that we have for our partnerships, for our marriages, people don't want one that's been used. It's kind of like a deck of tarot cards. You might not want one that's been used before. It feels like, oh, well, that didn't work out. Maybe I don't want that diamond, you know? And it's like people get this weird stigma about it. So when you're trying to sell a piece of diamond jewelry, then it really is going to lose its value unless there's something else like the designer or the age of the piece, like if it's a vintage or antique piece, that helps the piece hold its value a little bit. But otherwise, for just like a regular new modern diamond, they really do lose value fast. And the other thing is, just if for like any type of fashion or accessory, there are certain styles that go in and out of popularity. So if you buy a particular cut, a particular color, that might go out of style within a very short time, and it can be really hard for that piece to retain its value because of that.
That is so true. And, you know, to anyone who would ever look at me like, wow, why do you carry rocks around? You act like they actually do something. I'm going to ask them next time, well, hey, would you buy a used diamond ring from a divorce? And see what they say. Like, yeah, you feel that energy.
Exactly, exactly.
It's so true. So Ashley, you said you published many books on this. Which one of your books would you recommend for someone just getting started with crystals?
If you're just starting out, then probably my book, Crystals for Energy Healing, would be a great book for you. It gives an introduction to how crystal healing works, what it's all about, talks about crystal grids and crystal layouts, meditating with your crystals, and then there's a directory to 100 popular crystals and their properties, as well as a way to use every single one of those crystals in that book. So that's a really good one for beginners. And then, of course, there's my brand new book, Cosmic Crystals, which is all about crystals for connecting with lunar energy. So if you are enjoying our discussion about charging your crystals under the moonlight, that would be such a good fit for you.
Yes, I love that. Now, the first book you mentioned, is that something like if I'm feeling anxiety over a recent change in my life, I could grab your book and flip to anxiety and it'll show me what kind of crystals I could use?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that. That is something I need for my coffee table.
It's really great. And the fun thing about that book is the publisher actually hired a photographer to take pictures of the crystals in my own collection for the directory. So a lot of the pictures of crystals that you'll see in the directory portion of that book are my own crystals that I use for healing work with my clients and show off in my classes.
Oh, I love that. And my audience, they will see that energy in the photos.
Exactly.
So Ashley, before we let you go, can you share a little bit about the Love and Light School?
Yeah, so the Love and Light School of Crystal Therapy is my baby. It's the thing I love so much in my life. We have online classes that teach people about crystals and people all over the world. We have everything from really short half-hour mini classes up to our full crystal healing certification program. So we'd love to have you join in for a class. It's something that I am just so passionate about. I love doing. You can find out more about the school at loveandlightschool.com, or you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Love and Light School.
I love that. I'm totally going to go check that out myself. You'll probably see me in class.
I can't wait.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for coming on Lightworkers Lounge. Finally, we get to talk about crystals. I can't believe I've had this show for almost 2 years and I haven't had a single episode about this.
Well, I'm really excited to be the one to get here and talk to you about that.
Yeah, I love your energy. It's awesome. So thank you again for coming on the show. And if you guys want to connect with Ashley, I will leave all of her social media channels and her website in the show notes. And I will see everybody next Wednesday. Bye.
Up in this bed next to you, swear the room, yeah, got no ceiling. If we lay, let the day just pass us by. I might get to too much talking. I might have to tell you something. Damn. I like me better when I'm with you. I like me better when I'm with you. I knew from the first time I stayed for a long time. Cause I like me better when I like me better when